We spoke about the mitzvah of Amunah, and now we come to the second mitzvah, is a prohibition against Avodah Zarah. Now, to us, that seems to be a bit irrelevant, kind of. It's something where Avodah Zarah belongs in the way back when recesses, dark recesses of history, where people believe these things, we today are enlightened and so on. And the truth be said, we don't have Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah today, that is true, and therefore that's not so dominant. There was a time when Christianity and so on was a very dominant force, and between being very powerful with a lot of pressure and being very enticing, that drew people in. There were times when Islam drew people in, but by and large, that's not today the issue. But I believe there's another issue that is similar in the way it works in terms of drawing people that we really need to be very concerned about. And it's something that in many ways follows that same pattern. I'll try to explain what it is, but I first want to try to get a second look at Avodah Zarah. We tend to think of Avodah Zarah as being a mistake of the intellect, that people had these massive discussions and they made a mistake and they were wrong. They thought Avodah Zarah worked. They heard too many arguments for it. There's another thought that Avodah Zarah was attractive because it allowed for a very, very free lifestyle. Like it says in Chazal, that they worshipped Avodah Zarah Mata Arayis. There's another possibility where people were coerced, very lucrative to worship Avodah Zarah. They were able to get the right type of business connections, jobs, women, whatever it is. But there's another element of the draw to Avodah Zarah that maybe overshadows the other ones in significance. Let's start first with Rashi. Rashi says in Parshas Bahar, we have a whole parasha here about Jews being sold as slaves to Goyim, and it says kind of out of the blue, Lo sasachem elilu mupesel matzev loskim lachem, you should not make yourself an Avodah Zarah, ve'avin maskis loskim ma'atzchem shachsu lakini Hashem lakeichem. So Rashi says, where's this coming from? Kineged ze nimka lenochri. This is apropos to the halachas of someone being sold to a goy. Shelo yoma, the person shouldn't say hoyel v'rabi megal arayis afanikim also. Since my rav is megal arayis, I'll do the same. Hoyel v'rabi v'kacham afanikim also. Hoyel v'rabi mechal shabbos afanikim also. Lekach nemru kol mikros halolu. So he says, I would think that since my master is over Avodah Zarah, I too should be over Avodah Zarah, I should be Gal Arayis, I should be Gal Shabbos, Kamashon that not. That's kind of, what is he telling me? I understand that he would say that, you're going to think nobody's looking, I can understand there'll be pressure on you, but he's saying the person has an argument being that my master is Michal Shabbos, maybe that's a heter. I mean, he's using the word rabbo kind of double meaning over here. I mean, I'd like to try and understand a little more the substance of this thought process. I understand the general sense of it. I'm going to be there, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on me, and I'll cave in. My master is going to want me to be Michal Shabbos. My master might want to go over to Zarah. But there's some sort of thought process of here. Shema Toimef, Shoyel V'Avdi, and so on. So let's take a look at a pasuk later on. This is in Devarim Yud Beis. Yud Beis Pasuk Lamed. Be careful not to go after Avodah Zarah. So it says, upentidros lelehem, that you might come to inquire about their gods. Lemor, echoyav do goyim elas lelehem. How do these goyim worship their gods? Ve'esekin gam ani. In other words, there seems to be some sort of what's the right word for it? There seems to be some sort of because how do they do it, and I'll do the same. What exactly is that draw to Avodah Zarah? It doesn't say the goyim will force me. I wiped out the goyim. The goyim will entice me. I'll be affected. What's the motivating factor? What's the driving force? So let's look at a Rambam in Hilchos Deos. The Rambam says, Derech Briyosa Shel Adam, it is the norm for a person. And the Rambam had just got through speaking about that a person needs to structure his world of midos and his world of deos, that he calls, they should be in the most perfect way possible. Then Ram says, Derech Briyasoi Shel Adam, it is the normal habit of a person, he's drawn after his friends as regards what he does and his deos. Venoheg b'mineg anshe medinaso, and he's noheg b'medinas anshe medinaso, b'mineg anshe medinaso. And then Ram says, therefore, a person needs mischaber to tzaddikim, and v'chein im hoy b'medinas v'chesei roim et shemach v'derishor yelch l'makom shemach v'tzaddikim noheg v'derech toivim. The Rambam is not—it's not like just a lot of synonyms. The Rambam here is defining two completely different process, each one exerting a certain force on a person. Force number one is direct convincing. People cajole, people tell you what to do, people, you know, it's a direct effect of the people around you. That is one aspect of it. There's a second aspect of it, and this is a deeper point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us to be part of a society. Human being is a social being, and he naturally forms a society. And therefore, he has he's hardwired to fit. If everybody wears pants in his society, he's going to wear pants. He's not going to wear a kilt. He's not going to wear some odd African lavush. If everybody eats with a fork and a knife, he eats with a fork and a knife. If everybody eats with a chopstick, he eats with a chopstick. We're hardwired that we that we catch what it is that society does, and we go with that. That's called Minhag HaMedina. And that's a very second dynamic. It's not the dynamic of direct influence. It's v'noi k'minig amedina. Now, k'minig anshe medinasei. This halachically has validity as well. And whenever we do a business transaction, and before even the halacha steps in most of the time, our first question is, what is minhag HaMedina? When you order pizza, does some sort of sauce come with it automatically or not? Halacha steps in after we determine, is there a minhag HaMedina? And what is the minhag HaMedina? The minhag HaMedina is a given, and we are wired to follow along with minhag HaMedina. So whenever we have a large society, it's without even any type of direct influence on us. It's not that someone has convinced me that Christianity is good or bad. I just go along. An interesting phenomena: when the reform movement started in Germany, So we understand reforms where they dump mitzvahs and embrace averus. Yeah, I get that. You know, I understand that. But a large part of the changes that they wanted were an organized synagogue, the clergy wearing vestments, facing the crowd, moving services from Shabbos to Sunday. What's that all about? The answer is that is the Minhag HaMedina. This is what people are doing. The society around us is doing it. And therefore, it is my natural reaction to want to belong. So it's weird if my religion looks like a shtibel and theirs looks like a cathedral. So a normal person doesn't want to feel weird. So he does, he goes along with everybody else. The Rambam says that if he's in Medina, where they're inherently wicked people, he needs to move out into a desert. He will go along naturally with what is considered the norm, because that's how a person is built. And his best bet is to move out and move on. He cannot be part of that society when something has reached a level of a society. So that's first of all pshat in the pasuk, I think. The pasuk says you will come to this country and you will ask yourself, how does everybody here worship Avodah Zarah? It's not a direct sales pitch. It's not to gain. We got the better hand on them. I mean, the pasuk says we defeated them. But since this is the established world, it is our nature to want to fit in, and that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, it's not, there's no rhyme, no reason. It's just, well, I am an individual and these people over here have a culture. I need to fit in. I want to fit in. And the question is, how am I going to fit in? I need to find out what are the hanhagas of this Medina. That I think is the pshat in Rashi over there, when Rashi says that I would think that since my Rebbe is Eivar Avodah Zarah and so on, I'm also going to be Eivar Avodah Zarah. We ask, what's the thought process? The answer is because now I'm in a different world. I'm not in my shtetl, I'm not in the ghetto, I'm not anywhere. The one who sets the tone in the house is my rabbi, and my rabbi is this is his mores. These are his mores. These are his haggis. So if these are his hanhagis and those are his mores, then I should be part of it. It's not a logical argument as much as it's something we're hardwired to do, and therefore. When a Jew is within another society, we have a real problem. So, we have this fundamental aspect of a human psyche that it aligns itself with the social norms. It's healthy that way. It's normal that way. So, what is the answer to that? How are we going to get out of it? So the Rambam gives one etzah, in Hilchos Deis, to go live in a midbar, or to move Medina. I mean, that's not always feasible. Not everybody can support himself in a midbar, and so on. So the Rambam has another, I don't know if we'll call it etzah, but there's another mahalach, I think, in the Rambam that actually could give us what we need over here. This is the Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Now, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah itself, the Rambam also emphasizes this point incredibly. The Rambam emphasizes it in the first parak in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, when he speaks about the greatness of Avraham Avinu. The Rambam was, by him, Avraham Avinu was extraordinary. He named his son Avram, and he, I think it says somewhere, because of you know, Avram, who's the Rishon Chol Maaminim. The Rambam is extremely in awe of Avram, and the Rambam says, he describes how the entire world was totally convinced in Avodah Zarah that Avodah Zarah is, you know, this is it. And he had nobody, no parents, no society, no rabbi, nothing. And he came to this recognition himself, despite the fact that he's shakua between Avodah Zarah. There's no greater shell of society than these three things: your family, your country, your place of residence. And yet he was able to extricate himself from it. That's an incredible feat. That's why Avraham Avinu is a yachid. But what do we do with everybody else who's not Avraham Avinu? The Rambam Perikur Aleph brings a halacha of called Ein Holchem B'chukas HaGoyim V'lei Medamen L'Loi B'malbosh L'Loi B'Seir K'yoyitza B'Hen. There's an Isser of Chukas HaGoyim. It's an Isser that's a little bit hard because it's not defined 100%. You know, there are a lot of things and question what calls a Chukas HaGoyim. If Goyim wear pants, are we not allowed to wear pants? And so on. But there is such a halacha, and the Rambam says Hakol beinyan echad hu mazish leidamalem. He warns us not to be like them. Elo yeh haYisraeli. And it's interesting. The Rambam does not use the term Yisraeli that often. It's interesting that he uses it over here. I mean, he does use the word Yisraeli, but it's not a usual term for the Rambam to use. And here he emphasizes it, kind of, and it's a little bit on the strange side. Why is emphasizing? So the Rambam says over here, Yisrael moved them via duo be malbusha ubeshar ma'isav, kemoishu moved them mador deisav. He should be distinct as regards his clothing and his ma'isim, the way he's distinct from the guy with his basic perspective on the world, understanding. V'chein hu omer va'avdos chemina amin. So the Rambam says the reason is to make us distinguish from them. The way we are distinguished in our understandings and beliefs, etc., etc. So I once spoke about that it should be a result of it. In other words, if I think differently, I should act differently, and so on. I think there's also the flip side of it, which really lies in the Rambam's words about Havdalah. Let's give a mashal for it. Imagine that I decide to move to China. So I make aliyah to China, and I move there. I am going to subconsciously begin acting like Chinese. I'm going to try to dress like them, try to eat like them, and so on, because it is the nature of a person when he's in a society to sort of fall in line. That's normal, that's healthy. Imagine I'm the American ambassador in China. So even if I'm there a long time, but my understanding of myself, my identity is American. I'm an American who's living in China, and the fact that I'm an ambassador reinforces that. You know, so it's clear that's what I am. So I wouldn't feel no need, none of that psychological, social pressure to be like everybody else. None of that is going to happen because I'm not one of them. So the Rambam says, the din of Chukzeh Zalechu means the purpose of it is to distinguish the Yisraeli from the other person. It's something where I need to be able to see myself as if an entity, and where many of my activities are different. I look different. I sound different. Then I think different. It's much easier for me to think differently when I am a different person, when I recognize I was a different person, than when I'm one of them. Let's take two areas where this might apply to us. So like I said before, Avodah Zarah is not common today, Baruch Hashem, and other religions for an American, they're not really issued, nobody's religious, nobody cares about religion, and so on. But let's take two areas that are that it's a lot more common. One, our nisyonos in a workplace are as follows: eating treif is somewhat tempting. If somebody's into food, it might taste better. There are fancy restaurants, there's a big assortment of wines, there's world famous chefs. Okay, but that's a more minor yetzahara. The real struggle with kosher is I'm sitting around the table and everybody is eating and I am sipping a Diet Coke, maybe tuna fish sandwich. I'm weird. I'm kind of weird. I'm just like, it just don't fit in. And a person, a normal healthy person, wants to fit in. Many of the nisyonos of the averos start not as a nisyon per se. You know, it's not so much more, but the desire to want to feel part of to feel normal, especially a matzliach at my workplace, people respect me, they like me, I feel like I'm part of the firm and so on, and yet I am very, very different, very, very strange. It's just something strange about me. Two, for the intelligent person who reads and so on, he knows and understands what do the intelligent people think? What is accepted norms today? So once upon a time, family was an accepted norm, and it sort of coincided with the Torah understanding more or less, so that was fine. Today, we have a very different perspective on these things, and people naturally want to sort of subscribe to what everybody else subscribes to. It's very, very strange. If today somebody were to say segregation is a good thing, besides the fact that it's not, but I'm saying a person couldn't say it unless he belongs to neo-Nazis. But anybody who is normal, even before he's actually made the cheshbon that it's morally a terrible thing, he just, society will reject him totally. It's not even a havami that they could get away with that. He knows, and it once upon a time, different alternative marriages were understood. I mean, they were out of the pale of discussion, let alone subscribing to. Today, it's the given that there are different people, different emotional needs, and we need to recognize many, many patterns. And I don't want to sound like a throwback to some religious fanatics of the Middle Ages. And that's a very, very powerful pressure. There is not much a person can do in struggling with it. Yes, we can struggle with it. It's a very powerful battle. A lot better than struggling head on with it is by understanding yourself to be of a different nation. The havdolas we make, whether we wear a yarmulke or tzitzis or whatever it is, they send a message: I'm not part of your society. I have a different society I belong to. Yes, we get along to mutual satisfaction. We work with each other for each other. That's fine. That's wonderful. But I'm an ambassador from some other group of society, and in a place that I'm mine. So when I come to the work environment, and I'm with the people that are not Yidden or not Shomer Mitzvahs, then basically I'm simply I'm simply a guest, a tourist from somewhere else. That's the only way it's possible for a person to retain the normalcy of being nohag, like the Anshe Medina, and yet not falling for those Anshe Medina. So the Issa Avodah Zarah is obviously in a specific sense not so relevant to us. Baruch Hashem, Chazal eradicated the Issa Avodah Zarah, but there are other areas that display very similar patterns. One of them is our sense of beliefs. The beliefs we subscribe to have different things that push us one way or another. A hard religion versus an easy religion, etc. Those are a mistake in Ashkafa. Those are things that could push a person out of desire, but the most powerful force and the most the force that is most prevalent probably is this force of being no hate, that a person wants to click into society. He wants to have the same religion as everybody else because that allows him to belong. It allows him to certify himself in his own eyes as a healthy member of that society, as a full member of that society. That to us in America in many ways applies more than ever. We in America have, Baruch Hashem, a lot of freedom, a lot of opportunity to be part of society. In Europe, it really was possible. You had to shmad yourself, and even then, they didn't particularly care for you. So there was no real, you know, there was no real temptation of that nature. In Germany, there was. But in America, more than anyplace else, we're part of it. We're given to feel that we're a part of it. And therefore, it creates nisyonos in social averis, like eating together at some sort of, get together, interacting, with colleagues and so on. That's one set of nisyonos. The second set is in terms of hashkafas. We do tend to pick up the hashkafas around us simply because they are those that are prevalent in society. It is normal how to do that. To resist that and to be weird and to be different, besides the fact that it's not usually good, it doesn't, it's a chad bedor, it's Avraham Avinu. The only way that it's possible to resist it in a way that is a mahalach that's open for Ovam is this mahalach of belonging to society. It means that as much as we can of our identifying markers, the clothing, the language, everything that we're in control of needs to be different. It needs to say, you're not part of this. So just like when I'm in a place where I'm recognizably the outsider, there's no psychological pressure. I don't put any psychological pressure on myself to act like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. I'm a guest from someplace else. So the same thing is true also vis-a-vis the society around us. If we Yidden are different, we're not doing it to them, not Malbush on segments, but and there were different degrees. One of the reasons why Hasidus was felt to is successful in many ways, it's not because they're protected from the influence of the outside world. People make a mistake. It's as if a Hasidic person is not going to read the newspaper, he's not going to look at the internet, so he won't see the schmutz and so on and so forth. Baruch Hashem, people find the way to see and read. Yes, it is probably helpful to some degree, but that's not the real thing. The real salvation, the real reason why it's so strong, that type of project is because people don't see themselves part of the society. They're not Americans. They're Jews living in America. They speak a language like a foreigner. They're not acquainted with the culture. They don't live the culture. They have their own culture, their own mentality, their own language. They interact. So they learn English as a second language. They interact with people around them. All of those are very, very... All of those act to giving the person his sense of belonging someplace else. It's not so much that they're not exposed as much as there's always a sense on the outsider. It's mutual. He doesn't want to see me with my big payas and my kapata as being anything like him. And I don't want to be anything like him either. So we mutually agree to disagree. We'll have commercial interaction. We'll have whatever's necessary, but that's it. The Enholchem Chuk Sagoyim is the most powerful tool that we have against this particular Yitzhak Avodah Zarah. This Yitzhak Avodah Zarah of wanting to be like Umas Olam because we're just a spot in their huge society and everybody wants to belong, that is something that is countered by belonging somewhere else. The counter to any type of Avodah Zarah lies not so much in fighting with Avodah Zarah, but detaching ourselves from the people who subscribe to those beliefs, to those whatever it is, and then when Klai Yisrael is nivdal, they are who they are, and their own hisnahagus, their own default behavior becomes the default behavior of Klal Yisrael.